Good morning, brethren. It's good to see you again. As was mentioned in the prayer, it's a blessing to be gathered here in the flesh, not online, but there are others who are watching online with me as well. It's good to have both segments on this holy day as we pay tribute to our God for this pause in our daily chores, acknowledging him as our Lord and Savior. Indeed, he's Lord of his Sabbath. In my last sermon in Toronto a few weeks ago, I asked the question whether Jesus Christ had a concern for social issues. I want to take it a little deeper today, looking at another aspect. As some of you have responded that indeed you'd like to have hear some more about it. There was so much to say, but not enough time. So today I hope I can go a little further, because I think this is a very important subject. But I'm taking it to another level, at another angle. So the title for today's sermon is The Cause for Christ. The cause for Christ. Luke 4:18, he says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, and to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." If you recall the sermon, I went into some detail to show you how Jesus Christ cared for the oppressed in our society, the poor, the marginalized, and so on, the widows, and so forth. He never wavered in his attitude towards caring for people. And as Christians, we are obligated to doing that. But Jesus did something else, as you would have recalled, as I emphasized throughout, that in almost every instant or example that was used, where Jesus extended that arm of compassion for the poor, he made no compromise in explaining the hope for humanity, which was the kingdom of God. Never wavered in that. So my premise in that sermon was, there's nothing, absolutely nothing wrong in us as Christians getting engaged in social activism, if you want to use that word, or commenting or doing whatever you wish on matters concerning social issues. But, there's a big but, you have to use that opportunity to advance the good news of Jesus Christ and his coming kingdom. The same passion you have for that, then you need more passion, just like Jesus did. He used every opportunity to advance the cause of the gospel. So today I'm looking, as I said earlier, at another angle. How willing, and this is a very topical question here, how willing are we to go to that cause of advancing Jesus Christ, the cause for Christ, of advancing his message to a dying, pandemic-stricken world? You look back at history in the history, recent and more modern, I mean more contemporary history, and you go back into the earlier years, and you've seen some examples of people who had a passion for the cause. Their cause. And I would venture to say, futile cause. We had the freedom fighters of the post-colonial period, of the Simon Bolivars of South America trying to unite the most of the continent. Venezuela. He's from Venezuela. We have, back in the East, we have the Mahatma Gandhis advancing their cause, pushing for their cause of freedom. More recently, we've had the Martin Luther King's civil rights movement. That was their cause, or his cause, rather. We have others who joined that march, those marches, fighting for racial equality. We've had, in our more modern age, we have the environmental cause. Those people have a passion, it's like a religion, the cause for the environment. And you look into each of these causes, and nothing's wrong with them. They're justifiable to better the human condition. They had a passion for it, and one cannot but admire them for it. Billy Graham had a passion for what he believed in. Not getting into his theology, in his theology today, but I'm saying whatever he did, he had a passion for it. All his life was dedicated to that. He had a passion for what he did. We have different movements today. We have the labor movement. We have the equal justice, racial equality movements. We have the poverty groups, the homeless group, people fighting for homeless, fighting against homelessness. So we have all of these groups with their own causes. And as I said, there's nothing inherently wrong in having those, in pursuing those causes for the betterment of humanity. But there's a big but. All of these causes are going to come to naught, zero. They will vanish like vapor in the fullness of time. Do you have a cause? Do we have a cause? As Christians, we do. As Christians, we do. And our cause is very much different from the cause of the world. Our cause leads to something tangible, something that will not be like vapor. It's a means to an end. And the end is eternal. It's permanent. Because all the characters I've named now sleep in the dust of the earth, and they've done their part. We have some great men of the Bible who had a passion for the cause of Christ. Social issues, religious issues, whatever the issues of the day were. They were going on, but they had a distinct passion for the cause of Christ. What cost are you, all of us, willing to pay for the furtherance of this cause? What is your stance? Now is a very good opportunity to look at this and see what you have been doing for the cause of Jesus Christus. It's a very good opportunity. Mark 8:34 says, then he called the crowd to him along with his disciples and said, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it. But whoever loses their life for me and for the gospel will save it. What good is it for someone to gain the whole world? The whole world. Yet end up losing their soul, their life. I cannot stand here and tell you I'm not concerned about us in the body of Christ. Because I've seen and I've observed some of us have passion, more passion for other causes than for the passion of Christ or the cause for Christ. I won't say whether it's minority or majority. My majority won't get into that. But the reality is sometimes we do get ourselves caught up in the whims and fancies of society and get involved in other causes, not realizing that we have more, a more paramount and significant and real cause for Jesus Christ that we should be pursuing. Because look, let's face the fact that it's a matter of priorities, where they are, where they lie. Because, you know, I always use a very, very simple example. It's very simple. And some of us may not like it, but it's the truth. And I don't mean, I'm not relating it to any particular incident. I see some of my friends just walking here late, but I don't mean it for them. Let me just point it out. Because I'm speaking in general terms now, and I want to get real. If we go to work late every morning, or sometimes the boss will tug you up or write a little note on your thing, persistently late, or, you know, late sometimes, whatever. I believe that the same passion we have to ensure that we are at work every morning at 8:30, we should have the same passion to be at service at 11 or 1:30, whatever the case may be. I'm just using that as a little example of how or what our attitude should be. People have reasons to be late because if you get stuck in the traffic, the car can't fly. Sometimes you leave a little early and you still get stuck. That's understandable. And there are situations where that is warranted. So I'm not getting there. But if we have a deliberate and an intentional habit of doing that, these are things, these are little things that can lead to bigger things when it comes to our attitude for this cause that I'm talking about. Brethren, men and women have given up their lives for this cause. They've had it rough. And we've had it more or less smooth sailing. We are going through a pandemic right since February last year, and it has changed lives. It has changed the whole social structure, economic structure, even political structure, because elections have been put off here and there, not only here, but around the world. It has changed everything. And we are fortunate here in Kitchener that we're assembling because we've been given this opportunity to do it. And I can't tell you how impatient I've become listening to all the complaints from people about this, and I'm not talking people here, but people in general bickering about this, so I can't go to restaurant, I can't get to go here and there. Brethren, we are fortunate because there are places in this world where people have to travel 3-4 hours on foot to get to the place of worship. And they do that faithfully too. So we have it good. And the reality of our situation is that it's, from indications, it will go away at some point. Maybe it will come again, but go away. These people are living in that permanent situation. And they give glory and thanks to the Most High. They give glory and thanks to the Most High that they can wake up another day and they have life and they have breath to praise Him. And not only that, they have a hope that is unmatchable. Unmatchable. So the cause for Christ comes with a lot of responsibility, a lot of reflection, a lot of energy, and we're challenging that energy. And it's going to come to a situation where these little things that I'm talking about, they're going to matter. We've been going through the study on Revelation, and we see where the time is coming when we will have to make a stand for the cause of Jesus Christ. We will have to. Whether we believe it or not, it's coming. It doesn't matter whether you believe it or not, it's coming. Mark 8:13. And we have, if we don't take that stand, we're going to fall into the category of this, what it's saying here in Mark 8:38. It says, whoever is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, the Son of Man will also be ashamed of him when he comes in the glory of his Father with his holy angels. This is what this is telling us. We will have to take a stance for the cause of telling the world that Jesus Christ is the only Savior of the universe. The only one. Correspondingly, in Matthew 10:33 says, whoever denies me before men, I will deny him before my Father who is in heaven. And 2 Timothy 2:12 says, if we endure, we are living in this period of endurance. We are entering a period, or we're already in a period, where it's a new norm, what we see out here. You're sitting 6 feet apart. It's a new norm. I don't know if we're going to go back to what it was before. Perhaps, perhaps not. Don't know. We have to adjust and we have to get used to it. And we have to give God thanks for whatever it is that we have to endure, whether we are wearing masks or not, or we are social distance or not, whatever it is, we have to give God thanks. And as a Christian, we should be seen as the light of the world, the example of the world. And brethren, there are people among us, I can tell you, right here in our church, who do admirable things for the cause of the gospel. And sometimes we need to take a look around and just pause and just watch them. And just watch them. I was in downtown Toronto sometime in June. And I was walking up Yonge Street. And I stopped at Yonge and Douglas. And there were a whole lot of street preachers there. Not only Christians, Muslims, and other groups. And I just watched for a moment as people just walked past them, and it's as if they didn't exist. People just going about their own business, and those fellows were there preaching whatever they felt, preaching the word. And I said to myself, you know, imagine, I know of at least 2 members from our congregation in Toronto who do that. They will go down to Yonge Street and they will preach just like these preachers. And they say, wow, I didn't have on a hat, but I had to lift my imaginary hat to them because I don't know if I could do it. I don't know if I could do it. But they did it. They did it and they continue to do it. They go on the street and they hand out tracts as well. And I said, whoa, you know, this is awesome. This is a cause. And they have, I'm not saying everybody have that propensity or have that desire. I'm not saying that this is the cause or should be the cause of everybody. Understand me, I'm not saying that. But they saw that as their cause with a passion, and they do it. So I'm challenging all of us here in this is to identify our cause and we pursue it with a passion, the cause for Christ. How are you going to do that? I'm not saying you're going to go on the street. You could if you want. But there are other ways you can do it. But as a Christian, we have an obligation. We have an obligation to be a part of this cause movement, if you want to call it that, for Jesus Christ. Because it's part of our calling. We often talk about the calling. How much are we willing to give up for the cause of Christ and his coming everlasting kingdom? Brethren, this question becomes more and more relevant as we draw nearer to the time of the end. It's predicted, Matthew 24, that if we will be handed over to be persecuted and put to death. Yes, even that. And you will be hated by all nations because of me. At that time, many will turn away from the faith and will betray and hate each other. Yeah, you see people turn away from the faith and you wonder what's going on here. What's going on here? It's going to happen around us. And I've been saying it. One week you see somebody in church, you don't see them anymore. You say, what's up here? What's going on? The Bible tells us it's going to happen. Many will turn away from the faith. And they will betray one another. They will betray one another because many false prophets will appear and deceive many people. That's what the message of the first horseman of the apocalypse tells us. It's coming in greater intensity. We see from Revelation as well, the martyrdom that is coming again. Again, yes, because there were some before for their cause for Christ. You know what was their cause for Christ? The sacrifice that they were willing to make. Your life. That's what they gave up. Their lives. Are we giving up anything? Life is so good. And we wonder, what's up with this? I'm having a good time, you know. Everything is smooth sailing. Not going to be like that. 2 Timothy 1:8 says, therefore do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord or of me, his prisoner. His prisoner. He was a prisoner for Christ. I think I'm off. No pictures going on here. No, not sure what's going on. There's a message. Okay, I think I'm back. I don't know at what point I lost it. Just because I didn't see it. Okay, hope everybody's hearing me. It isn't as much. So I was about to read from 2 Timothy 1:8. Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord or of me, his prisoner. We have to be prisoners. for Yeshua HaMashiach. We have to be prisoners. The early followers were prisoners. And Paul says, we have to join with me in suffering for the gospel according to the power of God. Yeah. Join him in suffering, not a bed of roses, but suffering for the gospel according to the power of God. What's your testimony? What's our testimony for Christ, for the cause? You have many, I'm sure. There are testimonies out there. I've heard it from God's people. You have your testimonies. Sometimes we are a little shy in telling them. But telling them may inspire another. May inspire another. I get a lot of inspiration. I tell you, I have a little book at home. It's a book about the martyrs of the early church. And I read it from time to time just to get inspired for the passion they had for the cause of Jesus Christ. Here's a quote I thought I'd share with you. And this was an excerpt from a proceeding, a court proceeding, a trial of a Christian. It says, even the blessed Pothinos, the overseer of the church at Lugdunum, who had reached the great age of more than 90 years, he was dragged before the tribunal. He was physically so feeble that he was scarcely able to breathe. 90 years old, feeble. Age catching up on him. But he was strong with inward joy and full of longing for the crown of martyrdom. He was eager to give up his life for the cause. His body was tired to death because of his great age and his physical ailments. But his life was kept in him so powerfully that Christ was to triumph through him. He was led before the tribunal by soldiers accompanied by the city authorities. A great multitude yelled and shouted in wild uproar. It happened in just the same way as when Christ was condemned. He gave a good witness. When the governor asked him, "Who is the God of the Christians?" he answered, "If you were worthy, you would know." I like that. "If you were worthy, you would know." Thereupon, he was ill-treated in the most merciless way. Those closest to him pounded him and kicked him viciously from all sides, not respecting his old age in the slightest. Those further away hurled at him whatever came in their hands, scarcely breathing anymore. Pothinus was thrown into prison, and after 2 days he died. That was his cause, a worthy cause. Maturus, Sanctus, and Blandina, and Attalus were taken to the wild beast in the amphitheater to give the pagan crowd which gathered there a public spectacle of inhumanity. They ran the gauntlet of whips. They were already used to this. They let themselves be dragged around and mauled by wild beasts, lions and tigers, whatever. Everything was raving. Yelling mobs, now from this side, now from that, they endured. They sat upon the iron chair which roasted their bodies so that the fumes rose up. Well, I can imagine that. Yet they heard nothing from Santos beyond the confession of faith he had repented over and over again from the beginning. When they were still found alive in spite of the terrible and prolonged torture, they were finally killed. Blandina was hung on a post, delivered up to the wild beast
for food.
Hung up like this in the shape of the cross, she could be seen from afar, and through her ardent prayers she aroused increased zeal in those who were fighting for the cause. In this way, it was shown to all who believe in him that everyone who suffers for the glory of Christ is always in fellowship with the living God. Brethren, we have been making sacrifices. Some of us have been making sacrifices. You may not hear of them, but there have been sacrifices. Titus 1:16 tells us, they profess to know God, but by their deeds they deny him. Being detestable and disobedient and worthless for any good deed. In Acts 14:19, it tells us that a group of Jews from Antioch and Iconium came to Lystra and won over the crowds. These were zealots who came down for the cause. They won over the crowds, their cause. Then they stoned Paul and dragged him out of the city, supposing he was dead. And verse 20, but as the disciples stood around him, he rose up and entered into the city. On the next day, he left Barnabas for Derbe. Nothing could stop those men, as long as it was within their power to do what they thought they had to do. I tell you, brethren, there are so many examples in the Word of God of how men gave their lives for this cause. Are they followers of Christ? Paul asks, I speak as a fool. I am more in labors, more abundant in stripes, above measures in prisons, more frequent in deaths, oft. Of the Jews, 5 times I received 40 stripes, save one. Thrice I was beaten with rods, once I was stoned thrice. I suffered shipwreck a night and a day. I have been in the deep. Can you imagine you're in the deep a night and a day? In journeys, often in perils of water, in perils of robbers, in perils of my own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness, beside those things that are without, that which comes upon me daily, the care of all the churches. So he was doing all of this, and he had to care for the churches. For the Christian walk, it's an endless journey of making sacrifices. That's what it is, brethren. It's an endless journey of making sacrifices for the cause that we have taken on. Remember, before we were baptized, most of us, I would imagine, we've always been hearing about counting the cost of what we are going into. That's what it means. Counting the cost, because this cause is no easy cause. It's going to come with a lot of challenges. It's going to come with pain and grief, and it's going to come with questions. Even you yourself at some point may even question what you're doing is right. Especially when you come under the heavy influences of friends and other distractions in society who have no cause like you do. It comes with a price. Yes, Philippians 1:13, Paul writes, my imprisonment in the cause of Christ has become well known through the whole Praetorian Guard and to everyone else. So when he was in prison, He was making it known about Jesus Christ. In this pandemic, if you decide to take up a cause for the environment or racial inequity, racial justice, poverty, hunger, if you decide to take up a cause, do like what Paul did. He said, I make it known. Everybody know where my stance was. They knew that I'm a Christian and that Jesus Christ is my only hope. And that all our problems, all our social problems, all our social ills will never be solved until Jesus Christ is at the reign. That's the message. That's the cause for Christ. That's the cause. He was imprisoned because he preached Christ. And the Bible says many of us, we fall, it will happen to many of us. So the cause I'm talking about, brethren, it refers to this whole purpose and plan and mission of serving Jesus Christ and the message he came and what he came to do and accomplish and the message he left for the church that we are all witnesses of what he did. Philemon 1:23. Epaphras, who is in prison with me for the cause of Christ, greets you. So here was Epaphras. He was in prison for what? The cause of Christ. The cause of Christ. And brethren, prisons those times, the prisons that we have nowadays are 5-star hotel compared to those prisons, I can tell you. They're 5-star. Because food, for example, wasn't readily available back then as we do now. And those were horrible, horrible conditions. He was in prison. Not for breaking the law. Not for breaking the law. You know, those who end up in prison is usually for breaking a law. Well, the law here was to preach Jesus Christ crucified. You know? So today many speak of this cause in a simple way. Yeah. And when someone says they serve the cause of Christ or suffer on behalf of the cause of Christ, they usually mean, I'm doing something because of what I believe. I'm doing this. And we've seen men, some great stalwarts in the church of God over the years, who all these years, they've had this passion for the word. And if it means, if their cause is to, spend their whole life making an example, a good example to the world of being a Christian, then that was their cause. That was their cause, a worthy cause. Romans 1:16, Paul says, I am not ashamed of the gospel because it is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes, first to the Jew and to the Gentile. First to the Jew. Not ashamed of it. It's my cause. It's your cause. You cannot be ashamed. You've been told, go and make disciples of all nations. All nations. Teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. Baptizing them in the process so they can have that down payment of the gift of the Holy Spirit. We are witnesses to that. of this resurrected Christ, telling people, repent, repent, the kingdom of God is coming. There's no solution to the social ills of this society, only through the gospel message, which brings hope of Jesus returning to set up an everlasting kingdom. An everlasting kingdom. You look at the history of Christianity and you've seen how people have suffered for the word. The first Christian martyr in the Bible was Stephen. They killed him by stoning. But his final words show the dedication he had for the cause of Christ. While they were stoning him, Acts 7:59, while they were stoning him, Stephen prayed, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. Receive my spirit. Then he fell on his knees and cried out, Lord, do not hold this sin against them. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. He fell asleep. An unconverted mind would probably say something otherwise. Lord, just send a light and just strike down these wicked people. Stephen said, don't hold it against them. Can you know the cause we have? The cause. The cause of Christ in our age comes in many stripes, because we are living in a modern age with the technology, with all the distractions, with mixed priorities. Sometimes it's utter confusion, especially for someone new coming in the faith. Sometimes you don't know what is right from wrong, because that's a reflection of the social ethics that's out there. You don't know what's right from wrong anymore, because society is in the reverse. What was once right is now wrong. What was wrong is not right. So we have to make some sacrifices. If I know that taking a job on the Sabbath is going to jeopardize my relationship with God and my worship, this is me. I'm not going to take it. I won't take it. And I've known people in the church who have taken a stance on that. Some will do, but I won't, because it's going to defeat my cause for Jesus Christ. I will not be able to appear before him on the Sabbath as commanded. There are others with challenges. I mean, challenges that are, I mean, you have endless nights wondering what's the right decision to make. Should I be doing this or shouldn't I not be doing that? What if? But brethren, anything that you're engaged in that sins against your God is defeating your cause. Because we are overcomers and we're supposed to be endurers. It doesn't mean that we're not going to sin in our daily walk. There are things that, there are situations that, of course, we will sin. But I think and I know that God is looking at our attitude to him in this cause. What's my attitude? Am I going to just do it and say, oh, sure. God will understand, or God knows, or God will forgive. It's not the right attitude. But if we have a heart of overcoming, an attitude of endurance and pledge, and God knows that we are trying, then that's a different matter. That's a different matter. And sometimes words are easy to say, but when it comes to the reality, it's a different situation. But we know for sure from the word of God that anything that we put above him is idolatry, and that is sinning against God. All of us as believers, we are called to be a part of this cause. There are no exceptions. Every one of us in this call, we have an obligation to be a part of this cause. It's not a matter of whether I should not. It's not a matter of you going home now and saying, you know what? I have to be a part of this cause for Christ. No. From day one, you're a part of it. You are a part of it because you've been plucked out of Babylon. You've been plucked out of this sin-sick world, and God has given you a down payment, a taste of what is to come to your Holy Spirit, to the presence of his Holy Spirit. And from there on, then you're going to walk the walk and talk the talk. You're on this narrow road filled with potholes that you're going to drop in and you're going to fall. You're going to get bruised, maybe even hospitalized. Symbolically, of course. But then you're going to get up for the cause. And you're going to move on. For the cause. Because when you repented and accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, you tell him, or you told him back then something. You made a pledge to him to be faithful to the end. And when you do that, he promises, I will be with you right through the end of this age. I will be with you. I will be with you. You know, Paul says in Philippians 1:21, for me to live is Christ. To live is Christ. It's Four words? Yeah. Very important words. It means that everything that we do, as long as this breath is blowing, should be for Christ. You know, you have some people in this world that you come across, and they're an inspiration. Inspiration in the sense that, brethren, and I know them, I've come across them many times, even in our body. Every word is like every word that comes out of their mouth has something to do with God. You know, you start a conversation and they work God into the picture. Sometimes you try to depart from it, but they work it back into the picture. You know those people. They get up praising God. You would imagine they get up praising God and go to work. They're not afraid to profess Jesus Christ. It's like everything they do reflects God. You wish you could come across more people like that. They have them. They're in the body. Get to know them. I can tell you. They're inspiring because they inspire me. So to live is Christ. And to die is gain. Because, you know, you die, you leave this troubled world, and the next second of your consciousness, you will be rising to a new age, a brand new age. Shortly after Christ died at Calvary, Joseph of Arimathea asked for his body so he could lay him in his private tomb. May seem like a simple act. He was an honored member of the High Council. At a religious order, but he was a secret follower of Christ. And he made such a public statement and said, give me the body, I want to bury my tomb. That was his passion. Because the Jewish leaders hated Christ. They hated him for making all those claims. They wanted to kill him. But Joseph risked his reputation. And I want to give Christ a proper burial. That says a lot. That says a lot. He could have been endangering his very life. And you know, the Bible is filled with so many examples of the cause for Christ. I think one of the perfect ones in Nehemiah 3, I can't go through all of it, but when you have some time, just go through Nehemiah 3. It's a work, and sorry for the redundancy, it's a work about the work of the Lord. It's a work about the work of the Lord. Verse 1 says, then Eliashib, the high priest, rose up with his brethren, the priest, and they built the sheep gate. They consecrated it and hung its doors. They built as far as the Tower of the Hundred and consecrated it, then as far as the Tower of Haniel. Next to Eliashib, the men of Jericho built. And next to him, Zachar, the son of Emmer, built. They built, It's all about work. All about work. The sheep gate was so named because it was the gate where shepherds brought their flocks, right, to sell them. And here there was a rebuilding process. And we know Eliashib, the high priest, was a godly leader for sure. And he led this great work for God. And he had so many laborers behind him because they had a quest to make this gate special to God. They knew that God wanted everything set apart, including the city walls and the gates, and they just gathered people and they just built. Verse 3 says, the sons of Hassanah built the fish gate. They laid its beams and hung its doors with bolts and bars. And next to them, Mirmah, the son of Urijah, the son of Koz, they made repairs. Next to him, Meshulam, the son of Berechiah, the son of Meshizabel, made the repairs. Next to them, Zadok, the son of Bena, made repairs. Everybody, the Tekoites, next to them, the Tekoites made repairs. But their nobles did not put their shoulders to the work of the Lord. So you always have a category, a distraction. You always have a distracted group just hands off and watching other people work. Yes, the example is there. It just shows you how the human system works. You have others trying hard. Others just watching and maybe jeering and criticizing and coming with all kind of complaints. That shouldn't be found among God's people. It's about work. It's about work. They stood by and watched because they were the nobles of the city. I tell you, but it's all about how a group of people gathered, come together, and they did a work for the Lord. It was their cause. Brethren, today we need men and women to rise up more for the cause of Jesus Christ. Because we're living in an age where it's become very unfriendly for us to carry out the work of the gospel. I've often spoken about this, very difficult, even on the internet. Very difficult, because if you follow trends, the question that has always been coming up is, where is Jesus Christ in this pandemic? Where is he? Is he inept? He must be. Or if he's not inept, he must be dead. Because how can someone stand by and watch all of what's going on? Well, some people have the answers and say, you know what? There's no pandemic. And some people say there are notes all cooked up. I heard that argument yesterday. There's no pandemic. Whatever the case is, we have an obligation and a calling to stand up for the cause of Jesus Christ. Philippians 3:5. Circumcised the 8th day. Of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, and a Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal and persecuting the church, touching the righteous, which is the law, blameless. But what things were gained to me, because he had all of this, Paul had all of this. He was a big thing in society. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss. They didn't mean anything anymore. They were lost. I gave them up. I gave them up for Christ. Not about Lent. You don't eat fish and you give up something and then you've gone back to your old pagan ritual. This has to be a permanent fixture in your life, on your journey with Jesus Christ as a Christian. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things. I counted everything but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord. We should speak with this fervor and commitment and zeal for the cause of Christ. For whom I have suffered the loss of everything, he said. Everything. And you know what? I don't count them but dung. Nothing. Nothing. That I may win Christ. That I may win Christ. And be found in him. Not having my own righteousness. And brethren, be careful about this. Because sometimes as human beings, when we have a cause and we're excelling and we think we're excelling and we're doing a lot, it's not for your own personal aggrandizement. It's for the glory of God. So be careful that you're not seen by others. Or a situation arises where you become so self-righteous that you cannot even see your own fault. Because we tend to do that. Esteem others above yourself. Not esteem yourself above others. So Paul pointed out this. Because in his history of dealing with humanity as a servant of God, he knew that could happen. One could become self-righteous in all of this. And it's one of the biggest sins in our lives. Self-righteousness. And be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made comfortable unto his death. Or conformable rather, unto his death. If by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ. Paul was a bad writer. But you can sift through this. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And so he urges all of us involved in the cause. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. And if in anything you be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. Nevertheless, whereto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us mind the same thing. brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk as if walk so you have us for an example. So follow the ones that have set mark, have been doing work or been pressing for the cause and have become a light. And when they become a light, you know, you will see. Because in the process, brethren, they're glorifying their Father. They're glorifying their Father. This is not the time for bickering and tongue lashing. It's time for introspection as we prepare the bride to meet the bridegroom. We prepare the church to meet the bridegroom, that he's coming to marry. The cause for Christ, cause for greater effort. verse 18, for many walk of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even crying, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is in their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things. This is what I'm talking about. Who mind earthly things. Every little stick that crack or break in society, you have to be, you're there. Every little thing that come on the scene, you are involved. What about your calling? What about your cause for Christ? What about your passion for the work of God? Are you exerting the same kind of energy? Paul picked it up here. We mind earthly things. For our conversation is in heaven. It's at the throne of God, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he's able even to subdue all things unto himself. Unto himself. And that is what it's coming down to as we sit here and we, you know, we go through difficult times. We go through stressful times. And it's wearing us down. We're tired and we're fatigued and we're energyless. And society bears down on us with all its troubles. And if we are not careful, we find ourselves back in a little corner and we start to look like society. And then you know your first step. You want to bring society into the body of Christ. And they're two different things. They're incompatible. Because society is a place of is enmity against God. Enmity in the sense that they are carnal minds who oppose everything that God stands for. We live in the world, but we're not of this world. We are on a journey in the world, and the journey is taking us through the world, but we are not of this world. Remember that. Philippians 4:7. Paul says, the peace of God, which is beyond understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. He instructs, brethren, us to pray, knowing that the peace of God is with us. And here is the key, that the very mission of God, which is going to be give us true justice and equity, is coming. It's coming. So whatever cause we are in that's not of Christ, Christ is going to deal with those causes. When his presence comes upon this earth and he sets up an everlasting kingdom. So this cause that we are here is not for the faint-hearted or the fearful. It's not for them. Yes, we have some weak among us, but we have to be faithful people, willing to give up something for this cause. If we are sitting on the fence, we need to come off that fence, because we break down with you. When you fall on the ground, you can't get up back. Society is breaking down. That's what's going on. It's breaking down. Read between the lines and you see what's going on. It's in a fall. It's in a free fall. But the cause of Christ, notwithstanding that, the cause of Christ must govern our lives. We are going to walk the walk and talk the talk. We must not pay lip service to Jesus Christus. We must not, because he is the hope of this world. So as I wind on, brethren, let us be prepared to do anything to defend this cause and what he stands for. Take some time and think about what you're doing. Some of you are doing it. God bless you. Others may not. God bless you too. But it's time you take up that mantle. Time you take up that cause in your own way. I'm not going to tell you what cause to do in your own way. But we must serve him with fervency and passion, because we have a holy calling. That's what we have. A holy calling. He predestined you. He predestined to call you for this cause. And he has done that, and we have answered. So it's our turn now to deliver if we have not been doing that. It's a news that we're not going to hear on CTV or Global. But from here, this is where the news is. And the news is Jesus Christ is coming to set up an everlasting kingdom that will solve all the social ills of the society. It will solve all economic, political, social, cultural, whatever problems we have. And my cause is to tell the world that, listen, as long as this planet lasts, we will always be dealing with these issues. There's no end to it. Jesus Christ is the answer. What better cause is there for us to fight for? If you can tell me what better cause, let me hear it, because I know of no other cause. God bless you.